Save a Saturday for March is the 9th. Saturday, the 9th of March. We have a lot of work to get done to get ready for the Master's Puja the very next day. For those of you who don't recall, Save a Saturday runs from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Lunch is served at 12:30. Come as you are able. Of course, it's not necessary to stay for the full 4 hours. Just come as you can. And a reminder, karma yogis are also needed for routine seva around the center. Please email me if you'd like to participate. And then, as I said before, on Sunday, March 10th, at 11 a.m., here in the chapel, we'll have Sri Ramakrishna's birthday celebration. Aditya Chaturvedi will serve as our pujari. Afterward, we'll share the potluck prasad lunch in the monastery. Shrine decoration begins at 10 a.m., followed by a short talk, and the worship at 11 a.m., then our lunch at 12:30 p.m. If you're going to bring food to offer to the Lord, please have it here no later than 11 a.m. As always, we need you to volunteer. You can help with puja prep or serve in the kitchen. Puja assistants, please be here by 9:30 a.m., kitchen people by 10:30 a.m. So that's the work for the Master's Puja. And I'm very pleased to announce that we have a weekend retreat. Mark your calendar for this. At the end of April, Swami Nirakaranandaji of the St. Louis Center will be here from Friday evening, April 26th, till Sunday morning on the 28th, offering us his wisdom on Raja Yoga. And a good deal of that on Saturday, the Saturday workshop, will involve singing. The Swami is a very accomplished singer, for those of you who know him. He's from Argentina by birth and plays the harmonium and other instruments beautifully and sings absolutely heart-thrillingly. So that's our announcements. Can anyone think of something that I should have mentioned that I didn't mention? Okay. Well, then we'll open with our usual opening chant, which reminds us of our purpose here and our relationship with the divine being. Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahano Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvina Vaditamastu, Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. May the divine being look over us lovingly as a mother and father. May the divine being support and nourish us as a mother and father. May we have the strength and skill to study together the art of spirituality. May no misunderstandings arise amongst us. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto us and to all beings everywhere. And now, because this is the last of the talks on Bhakti Yoga for this month, we go month by month, the yogas. Next month, we'll talk about Karma Yoga. But for this month, we'll close out this month with this song, which is called Bhakta's Prayer. O Lord, take my hand. O Lord, take my hand. Without thee I may fall, without thee I may fall. O Lord, pull me on, O Lord, pull me on. Without thee I may fall, without thee I may fall. O Lord, take my hand, O Lord, pull me on. Without thee I may fall, without thee I may fall. O Lord, draw me near, O Lord, draw me near. Thou art my all in all, Thou art my all in all, without thee I may fall. O Lord, take my hand, O Lord, pull me on, O Lord, draw me near. Thou art my all in all, thou art my all in all, without thee I may fall. O Lord, fill this heart, O Lord, fill this heart. Thou art my all in all, thou art my all in all, without thee I may fall. O Lord, take my hand, O Lord, pull me on, O Lord, draw me near. O Lord, fill this heart, thou art my all in all, thou art my all in all, thou art my all in all, without thee I may fall. Om Amen. Again, welcome. So good to have you here this morning. The topic for this morning is Chaitanya's Prayer, the Perfect Primer. February is a month for the study of Bhakti Yoga. A Bhakti Yogi, a Bhakta, establishes a devotional relationship with God through study, prayer, ritual, and worship. As a Bhakta, you practice giving every action, thought, emotion, perception, and tendency a Godward turn. All your energies and attributes, both positive and negative, are offered to the Divine Presence. Your prayer is for self-surrender and ultimately union with your Beloved. Each great teacher, incarnation, avatar, brings a special message to suffering humanity. They instruct us in how to move from where we find ourselves at this moment to realization of our true original nature or knowledge of God. We're familiar with these great teachers, Rama, Krishna, Christ, Buddha, Shankaracharya, Chaitanya, and of course, Sri Ramakrishna. This morning, we'll take up Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya's prayer, as interpreted by Swami Prabhavananda and Christopher Isherwood, is recited here during morning arati. It is also heard in temples, convents, and monasteries of the Vedanta Society of Southern California, at Vivekananda Retreat Ridgely, and other Vedanta centers in the U.S. This prayer brings the practice, goal, and results of chanting the divine name into sharp focus in about 3 minutes. It is therefore a primer in the truest sense of the word. The prayer's tone and language are intense. It can be thought of as one of the most beautiful love songs ever written. Chaitanya calls forth the heart's bliss. Chaitanya calls forth the heart's bliss, instructs the mind in how to overcome obstacles, and in the voice of a spiritually awakening heart and soul, speaks lovingly and directly to the divine within. This morning, we will explore the prayer and its teachings in some detail. This will include an introduction to Sri Chaitanya and some discussion of the high regard in which the saint was held by Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother. So who is Chaitanya? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu means great lord, is regarded by millions in India and elsewhere as an incarnation of God, a reincarnation of Radha Krishna. Many disciples and followers of Sri Ramakrishna also think of Chaitanya as a previous incarnation of the Master. Sri Chaitanya was born in West Bengal, India, in 1485, 534 years ago. Swami Vivekananda, after this, the Swami will be referred to simply as Swamiji, had this to say about Chaitanya, quote, "The brightest of India's prophets of comparatively modern times in the north was Chaitanya. This one great northern sage Chaitanya represented the mad love of the gopis for Sri Krishna. Chaitanya was a Brahmin, born of one of the most rationalistic families of the day, himself a professor of logic, fighting and gaining a word victory. For this he had learnt from his childhood was the highest ideal of his life. And yet, through the mercy of some sage, the whole life of the man became changed. He gave up his fight, his quarrels, his professorship of logic, and became one of the greatest teachers of bhakti the world has ever known, Mad Chaitanya." Just as a side note interrupting the quote, Chaitanya also became a monk, a sannyasi. About that, Sri Ramakrishna said, "Chaitanya Deva became a sannyasi so that all would salute him. Whoever salutes an incarnation, even once, obtains liberation." That's from the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. You'll find it on page 717. Those who have ears to hear, he or she who salutes an incarnation even once attains liberation. Back to Swamiji. Chaitanya's bhakti rolled over the whole land of Bengal, bringing solace to everyone. His love knew no bounds. The saint or the sinner, the Hindu or the Muslim, the pure or the impure, the prostitute, the streetwalker, all had a share in Chaitanya's love. All had a share in his mercy. This is the characteristic of the great ones, isn't it? When Christ was asked, "Why do you spend so much time with the publicans and the sinners?" He said, "Because they're the ones who need me." His answer was that simple. So here we have a respected Brahmin, a famous pundit of his time and place, a great success in the world, as we usually think of success, and Chaitanya renounces it all to become a wandering monk, singing and dancing madly along the roads and pathways of Bengal, chanting the name of Hari over and again in ecstatic bliss. What happened to Chaitanya? Listen to Swami Ranganathananda from his book Divine Grace. "That is the way in spiritual life. First you strengthen yourself, assert yourself, and then sacrifice yourself, deny yourself and surrender to God through super strength. That is the correct attitude and way. First comes manliness, then comes saintliness or godliness. Erect your saintliness on your manliness. That will be a powerful saintliness." Now please ignore the masculine referent here. He could have easily said womanliness if he had been speaking to an audience of women. He was speaking mainly to an audience of men in Perth, Australia, at the Shivananda Ashrama there in Perth, Australia in 1978. So erect your saintliness on your womanliness. That will be a powerful saintliness. So work hard, build up your individuality. And then, when you are strong and spiritually mature, you look up and see a greater courage and a greater strength beckoning you, which makes you experience and say, 'Not I, but thou, thy will be done.'" This is a direct quote from Swami Ranganathananda's book. It tells us, first discover yourself, actualize yourself, and then you will be able to realize yourself. As we know, Ranganathananda goes on to develop these thoughts beautifully in his little book. It's only 83 pages long. He refers to the Bhagavad Gita, the works of Shankaracharya, and many other sources as he writes about how to move from a high state of worldly achievement to a great spiritual awakening. As I said, he actually spoke this in the beginning without notes and without books to refer to. All of the quotes in this wonderful book he had by memory. It was said of Swami Ranganathananda by people who had known both Swami Vivekananda and Ranganathananda. There were people who bridged that time period. They said Ranganathananda was the most like Swamiji in his abilities and his abilities as a speaker, and also this incredible memory that he had. Yet, even though Ranganathananda's book is pocket size, it would be quite a challenge to memorize all of the Swami's observations and instructions. Not so Sri Chaitanya's lesson plan. His primer on how to progress from a confession that one is utterly without devotion to the Lord to saying, "Do with me what thou wilt, for thou art my heart's beloved, thou and thou alone," is only 45 lines long. We can legitimately call that a primer. It is a short tutorial that covers the basic elements of a subject, and it is memorable. It is interesting to note that in Middle English, primer actually meant a devotional manual. So now I'll recite the prayer for you. And if you'll just close your eyes and just listen to what Sri Chaitanya has to say to us. 45 lines, 3 minutes. Chant the name of the Lord and his glory unceasingly, that the mirror of the heart may be wiped clean and quenched that mighty forest fire, worldly lust, raging furiously within. O name, stream down in moonlight on the lotus heart, opening its cup to knowledge of thyself. O self, drown deep in the waves of his bliss, chanting his name continually, tasting his nectar at every step, bathing in his name, that bath for weary souls. Various are thy names, O Lord. In each and every name thy power resides. No times are set, no rites are needful for chanting of thy name, so vast is thy mercy. How huge then is my wretchedness, who find in this empty life and heart no devotion to thy name. O my mind, be humbler than a blade of grass, be patient and forbearing like the tree. Take no honor to thyself, give honor to all. Chant unceasingly the name of the Lord. O Lord and soul of the universe, mine is no prayer for wealth or retinue, the playthings of lust or the toys of fame. As many times as I may be reborn, grant me, O Lord, a steadfast love for thee. A drowning man in this world's fearful ocean is thy servant, O sweet one. In thy mercy, consider him as dust beneath thy feet. Oh, how I long for the day when an instant separation from thee, O Govinda, will be as 1,000 years, when my heart burns away with its desire, and the world without thee is a heartless void. Prostrate at thy feet, let me be, in unwavering devotion, neither imploring the embrace of thine arms, nor bewailing the withdrawal of thy presence, though it tears my soul asunder. O thou who stealest the hearts of thy devotees, do with me what thou wilt, for thou art my heart's beloved, thou and thou alone. So that's the prayer. Let's unpack it. Let's look closely at the profoundly poetic images of what was just recited. The first line is a simple, straightforward call to action. Chant the name of the Lord and his glory unceasingly. What does Chaitanya mean by glory? Swami Prabhavananda often recited this hymn at the beginning or the end of a talk. Our salutations to that Supreme Being who is one without a second, whom the sages call by various names. Our salutations to him whose glory has been sung through the rapturous hymns of the worlds, but whose limitless and infinite glory none can comprehend. But again, whom the sages and devotees realize within their deepest contemplation. Him we salute again and again. May he shine in our hearts, manifest there in all his glory, and dispel all darkness and ignorance. That gives us some idea of what's meant by chant the name of the Lord and his glory. So the call to action, chant the name of the Lord and his glory unceasingly. Unceasingly. Really? Why should we go to all that trouble? Well, there's evidence in the New Testament, a book called The Way of a Pilgrim, and in the teachings of our own Sri Ramakrishna, Sharada Devi, Swamiji, and Swami Brahmananda. The results are indeed worth the effort. First, from the New Testament, quote, "We are called to pray without ceasing," says St. Paul in Thessalonians 5:17, his letter to the Thessalonians. The real question is, how? As we shall see, the Jesus prayer provides one good way for a Christian to pray constantly. Our task is to draw nearer to God. Saint Isaac of Syria says that it is impossible to draw nearer to God by any means other than increasing prayer. This is found on the website of the Community of the Beatitudes. Next, from the book The Way of a Pilgrim, this is from the website hermitary.com. This is a quote from the book. The pilgrim recalls how he heard St. Paul's admonition to pray ceaselessly and sets out to discover how. He finds an Eastern Orthodox teacher, a Staritz. It is the simple advice of the Staritz that falls like a revelation upon his heart and his ears. The teacher said, "Sit down in silence, lower your head, shut your eyes, breathe out gently, and imagine yourself looking into your own heart. Carry your mind, that is your thoughts, from your head to your heart. As you breathe out, say, 'Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me.' Say it moving your lips gently or simply saying it in your mind. Try to put all other thoughts aside. Be calm, be patient, and repeat the process very frequently. And that is all." Soon, as the Staritz had suggested, the pilgrim found the prayer at his lips and in his mind every waking hour, as spontaneous and effortless as his breath itself. That's the end of the quote from The Way of a Pilgrim. Now, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me." If you don't believe it's powerful, if you think, how can just that simple few words be so powerful, I suggest you repeat it to yourself in the way that the Staritz suggested for 10 minutes, and then see what you think. First of all, the word Christos, Christ, is, in the language that we understand from Sanskrit, it's a bija, it's a seed word. Jesus wasn't born the Christ. He was born an avatar, an incarnation, but he became the Christos. And so it's filled with his power. Our own beloved teachers say this about constant prayer. Sri Ramakrishna: japa means silently repeating God's name in solitude. When you chant his name with single-minded devotion, you can see God's form and realize him. Suppose there is a piece of timber sunk in the waters of the Ganga and fastened with a chain to the bank. You proceed link by link, holding to the chain, and you dive into the water and follow the chain. Finally, you're able to reach the timber. In the same way, by repeating God's name, you become absorbed in him and finally realize him. Sri Sharada Devi, the Holy Mother: the mantra purifies the body. Man becomes pure by repeating the name of God. So repeat his name always. The name of God is more powerful than the senses. Prayer to God makes your heart as pure as the star. As a result of sincere and regular japa and meditation, you will find that God will speak to you. All your desires will be fulfilled, and you will experience pure bliss. Even the injunctions of destiny are canceled if one takes refuge in God. Destiny strikes off with her own hands what she has written about such a person. Destiny strikes off with her own hands what she has written about a person. This is transformation. This is freedom from your karma. Swamiji: prayer and praise are the first means of growth. Repeating the names of God has wonderful power. Mantra is a special word or sacred text or name of God chosen by the guru for repetition and reflection by the disciple. The disciple must concentrate on a personality for prayer and praise. Concentrate on a personality for prayer and praise. These words, mantras, are not sounds of words, but God himself, and we have them within us. Think of him, speak of him. Buddha's Sermon on the Mount was, "As thou thinkest, so art thou." These words, mantras, are not the sounds of words, but God himself. We have them within us. Raja Maharaj, Swami Brahmananda, the picture in the gold frame at the bottom of the vertical row, column. Raja Maharaj said, "Practice japa and meditation regularly. Do not even miss one day. Try repeatedly to steady the mind by fixing it on a name or form of God, and at last you will become absorbed in him. If you continue your practice for 2 or 3 years, you will begin to feel an unspeakable joy, and the mind will become steady. At first, you must forcibly pour the thought of God into your mind. Then, as you persist, you will be flooded with joy." All these great teachers just quoted agree. The results of chanting the Lord's name unceasingly do indeed justify the effort. So what does Chaitanya himself say are the effects of unceasingly chanting the Lord's name? He starts with 2 summary assertions. The mirror of the heart may be wiped clean and quenched that mighty forest fire, worldly lust, raging furiously within. First assertion, the mirror of the heart will be wiped clean. Swami Sridharananda, a dear friend and a senior Swami of the Ramakrishna Order, was asked about this image. We were riding in the car from Los Angeles to San Francisco, where he was going to do a retreat on Labor Day in 2005. And he was asked about this image. He said, "Repetition of the name, your mantra, is like a very soft cloth, slowly and slowly, very naturally wiping away layer after layer of accumulated dust, until at last is revealed an ancient mirror and an image in that mirror of unimaginable, incomparable beauty." That's a direct quote from the Swami. "Until at last is revealed an ancient mirror and the image and an image in that mirror of unimaginable, incomparable beauty. That mirror both is and reflects the self, your inmost being, your true original nature." Breathtaking. "That which we struggle and yearn for as we run after this and that, that and this, as we chase the divine, the truth, in its limited form, distorted and diluted by Maya, it has always been right here, waiting for us." Chaitanya's second assertion. "That mighty forest fire, worldly lust, raging furiously within, will be quenched." Quenched means totally extinguished. Not one ember glowing to restart the fire. This is Chaitanya's assertion. "That mighty forest fire, worldly lust, raging furiously within, will be quenched." Sri Chaitanya promises that if we indeed chant the name of the Lord and His glory unceasingly, that forest fire of lust for the world raging furiously within us will be dead. And it's no use to pretend we don't know what mighty forest fire means. Cartoonists have our number, don't they? Think of an animated cartoon that features some young guy cruising along in his shiny new convertible. He passes an attractive young woman strolling down the street, and his cartoon eyes go boing right out of his head. His cartoon eyes pop right out of his head as he ogles that woman. What the artist is showing us is that our senses don't just quietly lie in wait for sensations. Oh, no. They reach out for stimulus. They rage after what they desire. And they argue with us vehemently when we try to restrain them. Maybe you're driving down the avenue when you see a sign that says, "If it's something sweet and cold and creamy you crave, come to McDonald's for an ice cream cone, only 99 cents. Good ad copy, right? Gotcha. But you think to yourself, reasonably, "Yes, but I know perfectly well I don't need that cone, those extra empty calories," and the mind right away talks back, "But it's low fat. And it's only 99 cents. Isn't that how the mind works with us? Yes. And unless you yield to that voice of temptation as you drive by the McDonald's in the next block, the senses that crave that sweet, cold, and creamy treat will probably chatter at you all the way home. And when you get there, they will remind you that there's a fudgesicle in the freezer. Ah, yes. It rages furiously within. Swamiji, in his commentary on Patanjali's Yoga Sutras and elsewhere, offers detailed explanations of why and how Chaitanya's promise is actually kept. For right now, suffice it to say that Swamiji affirms chanting the name Japa Nama actually does calm the mind so deeply that lust for the things of the world loses its grip on your awareness and on your actions. So in four poetically charged lines, Chaitanya has made his case for what you are to do. Chant the name of the Lord's name, chant the Lord's name and glory unceasingly, and the results you can expect to achieve if you do as he asks. Your true original nature will be revealed in all its splendor. Your experience of that splendor will no longer be fragmented and lost among the ever self-renewing, unsatisfiable cravings. Sri Chaitanya continues his instructions. First, he says, ask the Lord directly for what you need to begin and start to move ahead. O name, stream down in moonlight on the lotus heart, opening its cup to knowledge of thyself. The Chandi, speaking of the mother of the universe, says, you are of the form of the moon and moonlight and happiness itself. And as Sri Ramakrishna says, it is mother, being addressed as she is in the Chandi, it is mother who holds the key that allows us to go beyond the door of Maya into the realm of Brahman. Chandi, speaking of the mother of the universe, says, you are of the form of the moon and moonlight and happiness itself. Moonlight is the reflected glory of the sun and sunlight. In our ordinary state of consciousness, we cannot contemplate the sun. We cannot, our nervous system is not able to deal with the full blaze of the sun. We'll blind ourselves, we'll harm ourselves. So we gaze lovingly on the moonlight, the reflected glory. Swami Atishwarananda, Swami Yogeshananda's first teacher, who was a disciple of Brahmananda and served as a vice president of the Ramakrishna order, commented, the spiritual aspirant feels there is a lotus at the level of the heart, the petals of which are directed downwards. When this center is reached by the mind, the bud of the lotus opens and the petals get directed upwards. The lotus blooms. And this is what Sri Chaitanya is pointing to when he writes these lines. O name, stream down in moonlight on the lotus heart, opening its cup to knowledge of thyself. And so the lotus becomes the cup. The heart becomes the cup, open to receive the knowledge of God for which you are praying. Knowledge of thyself. What is this knowledge? Let's go back over some quotes from our teachers about the nature of this knowledge. Ramakrishna says, when you chant the name with single-minded devotion, you can see God's form and realize him. Sri Sharada Devi, as a result of sincere and regular japa and meditation, you will find that God speaks to you. Swamiji, the disciple must concentrate on a personality for prayer and praise. These words, mantras, are not the sounds of words, but God himself, and we have them within us. Brahmananda, if you continue your practice for 2 or 3 years, you will begin to feel an unspeakable joy and the mind will become steady. This knowledge is not book learning, not theoretical musings, not something heard from a speaker on a Sunday morning. It is direct experiential knowledge of God, yourself found within. Chaitanya then speaks directly to that self. O self, drown deep in the waves of his bliss, chanting his name continually, tasting his nectar at every step. Sri Ramakrishna said, O dive deep, O mind, dive deep into the ocean of God's beauty. If you can plunge to the depths, there you can find the gem of love. Like Om, love is a single word that says what God is. Another name for God, a more complex word, is Satchidananda. That bliss Chaitanya speaks of, that bliss that Chaitanya speaks of, is one third of that term. Yet we know, if we think about it logically, that Satchidananda cannot be separated into three parts. It's just said that way so that we'll have some concept. So when you dive deep, when your mind is drowned in the continual chanting of the name, you are immersed not just in bliss, but in the totality of inseparable existence knowledge bliss, absolute. You will be immersed in God. The term in Sanskrit is Shabda Brahman, God in the form of sound. This is the Shruti. This is what was heard by Brahma and so on down the chain to the human rishis. Shabda Brahman. Therefore, when you are truly chanting his name continually, when your entire awareness is suffused with the nectar of his being, Satchidananda itself transforms you. Your actions, your karma, will change, and as Holy Mother said, even the injunctions of destiny are cancelled. Destiny strikes off with her own hands what she has written about such a person. Chaitanya continues, still speaking to the self within, bathing in his name, that bath for weary souls. Now just imagine this. Just let your imagination run free. The name flowing down over you, washing you clean, bathing you. Yet if your soul is not weary, Chaitanya's bath will probably not be of much interest. If your soul is weary, then as the Holy Mother said, man becomes pure by repeating the name of God. So repeat his name always. This will make your heart as pure as the star. Over and over we are told by the great teachers that there is great power in God's name. Over and over, we are told by the great teachers that there is power in God's name. Even the great non-dualist Shankaracharya wrote and sang Bhaja Govindam. Chant the name of the Lord, Bhaja Govindam. Chaitanya underlines this and frees his recommended practice from both rigidity and priestly entanglement in these lines. Various are thy names, O Lord. In each and every name thy power resides. No times are set. No rites are needful for chanting of thy name. So vast is thy mercy. This is the subject for another talk. Chaitanya, the mad avatar, also was a rebel against religious bigotry. That fanatical devotion to one form or name of God, denouncing all others, and the incrustation of priestcraft, the insistence that a schedule of esoteric rites, rituals, and ceremonies performed by others is necessary to attract God's compassion and grace. Chaitanya was another of India's great reformers, restoring eternal Vedic truths and traditions, and forthrightly denouncing both religious bigots and greedy priests. Now, of course, in his time, he was delivering the back of the hand to those who insisted that you have to pray so many times a day at specific times, which was part of the conquest of India and the insistence that that be how you behave. He was delivering the back of the hand to those people and to the greedy priests who came to resent him a great deal. This, you read the story of Chaitanya and Puri, you see that in it was not a happy relationship with the temple there. Not surprisingly, Swamiji clearly echoes those thoughts. Quote, Japa is repeating the holy name. Through this, the devotee rises to the infinite. The boat of sacrifice and ceremonies is very frail. We need more than that to know God. It is not necessary to go through all these ceremonials to reach the meaning of the Vedanta. That's Swami Vivekananda. So having celebrated the Lord's omnipotence, liberty, liberality, and compassion, Chaitanya now speaks for the first time in the voice of the devotee. In three stunning lines, the aspirant confesses, how huge then is my wretchedness, who find in this empty life and heart no devotion to thy name. This is the crux, the turning point of Chaitanya's prayer. This recognition that though the Lord offered to take the yoke from his heavy-laden shoulders, the devotee is yet unbending and cannot kneel so that the yoke can be removed. My burden is easy, said Jesus Christ. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. What courage it takes for the devotee to make such a statement. This is not the mea culpa of a weakling. It is a powerful, honest recognition of a bitter truth. The aspirant's wretchedness is of his own making. Our misery is of our own making. The aspirant's soliloquy continues, first directed within, O my mind, be humbler than a blade of grass. Be patient and forbearing like the tree. Take no honor to thyself. Give honor to all. Chant unceasingly the name of the Lord. The devotee reviews step by step what must be done to break his unbending pride, to gain humility and devotion. Swami Yatishwarananda once told Swami Yogeshananda, for every one step forward spiritually, you must take two steps morally and ethically. For every one step forward spiritually, you must take two steps morally and ethically. Humility, patience, forbearance, modesty, magnanimity, those are moral and ethical steps. And then the repeated instruction, let nothing deter me from chanting the holy name. Next, addressing the Lord, the devotee affirms that discrimination and renunciation are replacing his yearnings for the attractions of the worldly life. O Lord and soul of the universe, mine is no prayer for wealth or retinue, the playthings of lust, or the toys of fame. Instead, the aspirant now prays for the highest. As many times as I may be reborn, grant me, O Lord, a steadfast love for thee. A quick note about being reborn. Listen to this verse from the Devi Mahatmyam, the 700 mantras to Sri Durga. This is one of those mantras, or one of those, This is from the Chandi. Salutations be to you, O Narayani. O you who in the form of minutes, moments, and other divisions of time bring about change in things and have thus the power to destroy the universe. Based on this premise, that she brings about change in things, based on this premise and on Sri Sharada Devi's promise that even the injunctions of destiny are cancelled if one takes refuge in God, it is possible to think that you do not need to wait for another lifetime for your life to change. It is possible you can be reborn and mother can grant you that precious, steadfast love for the Lord this instant, this very instant. The fourth instruction for meditation by Swami Prabhavananda is expectation. His first instruction is, and it so relates to what we're talking about here. Swami Prabhavananda loved this prayer. That's why he introduced its being chanted every morning at Arati. His first instruction for meditation is, the chosen ideal is you yourself. No different, learn to feel that living presence. The second instruction, patience. Third instruction, perseverance. Fourth instruction, comes at the last for a reason, expectation. Expectation. It is possible you can be reborn. It is possible you can be reborn, and Mother can grant you that precious, steadfast love for the Lord this instant. Since we can't imagine that any word of Chaitanya's prayer was written carelessly, he was, after all, a master logician, it could be that in these next very dramatic lines, the Mahaprabhu also makes a small joke. A clever play on words. He wrote, a drowning man in this world's fearful ocean is thy servant, O sweet one. In thy mercy, consider him as dust beneath thy feet. If in his mercy the Lord makes you part of the dust beneath his feet, it's pretty clear your drowning days are over. Think about the connection. No more ocean. You are part of that on which the Lord rests. If in his mercy the Lord makes you part of the dust beneath his feet, it's pretty clear your drowning days are over. An intimate connection with the divine is complete. Where is the world's fearful ocean then? Naturally, there's much more to these four lines than a sort of spiritual jest. In seed form, they point toward one of the relationships one can have with the divine, the attitude of a servant. For indeed we are, whether we are aware of it or not, a servant of the divine will. As Sri Sharada Devi said plainly, listen, dear, when God first created man, he endowed him with the spirit of goodness. As a result, men were born with wisdom and it did not take them long to realize that the world was an ephemeral thing. Immediately they took the name of God and set out to meditate on him, and by his grace were liberated from the bonds of life. God thought, this will not do. This is not the way to make them play the game of life. This is Brahma thinking, hmm? This will not do. This is not the way to make them play the game of life. In the end, along with the spirit of goodness, he mingled in profuse quantities of the spirit of materialism and that of vanity. Now the game of life went on with a swing. If you want to find where that is, the quote starts on page 212 of the book, In the Company of the Holy Mother by Her Direct Disciples. Think of what she said. Each of us is serving to make God's game of life go on. That's a transformative thought indeed. After all, if we believe Tattvamasi, that thou art, then this is your game, our game, as the Atman. As Sri Krishna says, we are doing this for our own purposes. Tattvamasi, that which is making the game of life. as the great Roman mystic poet said, and the name was Marcus Aurelius. He wrote, and notice the lack of a gender pronoun. He wrote, "It loves to happen. We love to happen." And his mother said, when we want out, all we have to do is stop wanting anything. Swami Prabhavananda was fond of saying, we should give every aspect of our lives a Godward turn. To apply that thought here, perhaps Chaitanya is suggesting that, since we do serve the Lord's purposes, it is best if we purposefully remind the Lord and ourselves that we are his servant and ask for his merciful protection. Ramakrishna once said to M, and for those of you who don't know, M is the one who wrote the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Ramakrishna once said to M, in order to realize God, one must assume one of these attitudes, Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, or Madhur. Dasya is the attitude of a servant toward his master. Hanuman had this attitude toward Rama. He felt the strength of a lion when he worked for Rama. Now, there's a lot to be said about those bhavas, those attitudes, moods. Not this morning, but we will talk about that later on in a Karma Yoga talk. In the next lines of Chaitanya's prayer, we hear a devotee whose transformation is nearly complete. Unceasing repetition of the Lord's name has filled the devotee's being with the Lord's presence. Any thought of worldly achievement or pleasure has vanished. All that remains is an intense yearning for union with the Beloved, here called Govinda, a name of Krishna. Chaitanya wrote, how I long for the day when an instant's separation from thee, O Govinda, will be as a thousand years, when my heart burns away with its desire, and the world without thee is a heartless void. Many great devotional mystics have echoed this abandonment of self to the divine. Half a world away, a contemporary of Chaitanya put this very similar passionate longing into these words. They're from The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, a 14th and 15th century German mystic. And just a note about Thomas A. Kempis and this book of his, The Imitation of Christ. When Swami Vivekananda was in his wanderings after Sri Ramakrishna passed away, Swami Vivekananda wandered about in India, north to south, east to west, south to north. He carried two books with him, a copy of the Gita and a copy of The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. So here's what Thomas A. Kempis wrote, one of those things that attracted Swamiji's heart. O thou beloved, love eternal, my whole good happiness, which hath no bounds, I desire to appropriate thee with the most vehement desire and the most worthy reverence. I desire to reserve nothing unto myself. O everlasting light, surpassing all created luminaries, flash forth thy lightning from above, piercing all the inmost parts of my heart, piercing all the most inward parts of my heart. Make clean, make glad, make bright, and make alive my spirit with all the powers thereof, that I may cleave unto thee in ecstasies of joy. That I may cleave to thee in ecstasies of joy. Amen. That's the end of the quote from Thomas A. Kempis. Chaitanya in the last lines of his prayer, summarizes the final stage of his devotional spiritual practice, the Madhura Bhava, roughly translated as the sweet mood. This is the completely selfless attitude represented by the relationship of Sri Radha to Sri Krishna during their Leela in Vrindavan. Sri Ramakrishna called the Madhur attitude Chaitanya's greatest contribution to the spiritual world. Ramakrishna said, Madhur is the attitude of a woman toward her paramour. This great mood includes all the other four. The last nine lines of Chaitanya's prayer are, prostrate at thy feet, let me be in unwavering devotion, neither imploring the embrace of thine arms, nor bewailing the withdrawal of thy presence, though it tears my soul asunder. O thou who stealest the hearts of thy devotees, do with me what thou wilt, for thou art my heart's beloved, thou and thou alone. Madhur is the attitude of a woman toward her paramour. This great mood includes all the other four. Shall we think of this poetry as only an intense description of the ultimate state of a devotee that the devotee achieves by chanting the name of the Lord in his glory unceasingly? It is all that and more. That great mood seized another charismatic devotee of Sri Krishna, a 16th century Rajput princess who became the renowned singer Saint Mirabai. This is from the introduction to a collection of her works titled For Love of the Dark One, Songs of Mirabai. Tales of Mirabai still circulate. One recounts how, on reaching the vicinity of Vrindavan, the woodland sacred to worshippers of Krishna, she encountered the famous theologian Jiva Goswami. This redoubtable scholar and fearsome ascetic denied her access to one of Krishna's temples because she was a woman. Mirabai shamed him with the words, "Are not all souls female before God?" Mirabai shamed him with these words, "Are not all souls female before God?" Jiva Goswami bowed his head and led Mirabai by the hand into his temple. That humility, that perfection, says Chaitanya, is the goal. The beginning is, chant the name of the Lord and his glory unceasingly, that the mirror of the heart may be wiped clean and quenched that mighty forest fire, worldly lust, raging furiously within. Any of you who would like a copy of Chaitanya's prayer, just give me a call, send me an email. I'll be happy to send you a copy of Swami Prabhavananda's and Christopher Isherwood's translation. But right now we have the opportunity to have a little conversation about what you just heard. This is the best part of this morning. This is where the congregation does its manana together. We say what's on our minds and help one another consider what we've heard by sharing your own insights and your own questions. Please.
Who goes? Yes. Century,
14th and 15th century. He was born in 1485.
Sounds so striking that in that time period, the way he thought, it reminds me of the later period, 19th century reformers, like Vivekananda, like Rajaram Kondor.
Mm-hmm.
Because if, as you say, that he was a professor of logic,
mm-hmm.
so if his mind was so tuned to rational thought,
mm-hmm.
at the same time, he's turning to intense form of bhakti, and that is very unique.
Well, this is why I read what I read from Swami Ranganathananda about the change that comes when we've fulfilled our dharma, when we've fulfilled ourselves, we've actualized ourselves. Something else happens, he says. And if you read the life of Sri Chaitanya, that's what happened. He went to the hut of a sage.
It sounds very unusual for that time period of 14th century.
Yes. Well, this is what the avatars always do, is give us the new. It's so the wave that Sri Chaitanya brought into the world rolled forward and gave rise to many things in India, many, many things, including the reformers you talked about. And then, of course, Sri Ramakrishna yet perfected their thinking. If you read his talks with Dr. Sarkar at the end of the gospel, you'll see him giving instructions, just giving instruction to the rational-minded, to the people who were reforming Bengal at that time. And it's all about opening the heart. It's all about opening the heart.
The second is a comment about, if you recall, John Slack's
yes.
very beautiful poem, Light up, O mind, light up the true lamp of wisdom,
mm-hmm.
And let it burn unceasingly in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that very much is close.
Oh,
to
yes.
This.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, well, Swami Brahmananda even put a time frame on it. If you'll be regular and sincere for just 2 or 3 years, that flame will go from a spark, just a glowing ember, to a burning flame. Anyone else? Yes, dear.
Just would like to add that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was one of the people who had a very unique ideology of Bheda-Abheda, which is both Advaitic and Dvaitic at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
When he said that a God can be simultaneously both in form and without form.
Yes.
And that was something which I found very, very, not just interesting, but very unique and proper for someone who wants to have a complete circle of bhakti and jnana together.
Yes.
Because he had a guru who was an Advaiti from Shankaracharya's
mm-hmm.
lineage. And at the same time, he had a bhakti, he got his initiation into bhakti as well. So that was very, very perfect combination, which not only at that time, but I think it is missing even in today's time, when either we are fixed to one aspect of it or another aspect of it.
Well, this is exactly what he argues against.
Yeah.
All forms and formless aspects. Various are thy names, O Lord. A name of being with form or without form doesn't make any difference. And you're absolutely right. It was revolutionary what he brought into the world. It was, and look what happened. It just rolled out of Bengal all the way into the south, and it was amazing what happened as a result of Sri Chaitanya's advent. And, you know, that story, if you read the story of his life, it seems almost an accident, his transformation. He went to that sage's house, the bhakti sage's house, on almost on a whim. Someone said to him, go, you got to go see this guy. And, you know, he was this great teacher. Oh, yeah, I'll go see him. And then, pow. It just hit him. And he went to his own students. In the next days, he went to his own students who were surrounding him. He had big groups of students. And he started chanting the name of the Lord to them. And they said, "What are you doing? What's going on with you?" And he said, "I'm sorry, you'll have to find another teacher. I can't do this anymore." It's sweet and it's very heartwarming to hear the story of Chaitanya's transformation. And it was complete, and yet he left nothing behind in terms of that great ability, that great logic, because everything that he did, nothing defied logic. It was all perfectly aligned to produce what he talks about in this prayer. If you'll follow the instructions, O my mind, be humbler than a blade of grass, be patient and forbearing like the tree, take no honor to thyself, give honor to all, chant unceasingly the name of the Lord. Now, those lines before chant unceasingly the name of the Lord, you can see those in Adi Shankaracharya's admonitions to his students in the Vivekajudamani, and you can find it in Vashishta's teachings to Rama in the Vedanta. Absolutely. Somebody else? Yes, Dr. Mudge.
Two thoughts passed through my mind when I heard today's lecture. Number one, that it's interesting that you refer to Mahaprabhu Chaitanya as a musician. You refer to our incoming Swami as a musician. Mm. You said Shankaracharya was a musician. And to add to that, the last Valentine's Day, I read a Shakespearean quote which I never heard of before. If music is a food of love, let the music begin.
Yeah.
So they all, but then we are talking about the music and not the musician. Mm. When the musician becomes more important than the music, then the sanctity is gone.
Yes.
And that also we always do. This is beautifully illustrated by one story. Quickly told, when Tansen, the big singer, known singer of India, was told by King Akbar that I want to listen to your master. And he says, my master never sings in the public. He says, then let us go in private and listen. So he says, when my master is practicing music at 4 o'clock in the morning, if you put your ears on the wall, you might be able to hear him. And after that, on his way back, the king asked Tansen, how come you don't sing half as good as your teacher? To which Tansen says, that is because he is singing for the Lord and I'm singing for you.
Oh, what
that
a...
That is the music they're talking about.
Talk about the perfect squelch.
Yes. And the second thought, you know, I was thinking, why? Why he sang before the prostitutes? Why Buddha picked up Amrapali, the dancer, as someone? Because these are the women we call fallen women, but really speaking, they have seen fallen men.
Yeah.
And therefore, their heart is empty to see the love of God.
Yes.
And that perhaps attracts them, the saints.
Yes.
To take care of them.
Yes. Well, yes. Yes. As Maya Angelou wrote, now I know why the caged bird sings. Now I know why the caged bird sings. Someone else? Anyone else? This is wonderful. Yes, dear.
What is the third instruction by Swami Prabhupada?
I'm sorry?
What is the third? You told four instructions by Swami Prabhupada. I missed the third one.
Third one is perseverance. First is about understanding that the chosen ideal is you yourself. Learn to feel that living presence. This will take patience, perseverance, and expectation. We need...
Expectation.
It means you should expect to understand the truth of your true original nature at any moment.
In the sense of faith, having faith. Because...
goes beyond faith, dear. The Sanskrit word, you know, Shraddha, is more than faith. Shraddha is more than faith. He's talking about having Shraddha. Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, yes.
The question that she just asked had me ask you another question. So when you spoke about expectation, I think you said that it was the last of these four qualities.
Four instructions, yes.
Four instructions, and that was for a reason?
Yes.
Could you explain the reason once more why that is at the end?
We need to be in that condition that Sri Chaitanya describes when he says, "Ah, how I long for the day when an instant separation from thee, O Govinda, will be as 1,000 years. We need to be longing for that day. Notice it isn't there for the devotee yet, but he longs for it. I long for the day when an instant separation from thee. We need to have that expectation that it will happen. And this requires, as Uma pointed out, what she was pointing to was Shraddha, which Shraddha is a combination of faith and courage and persistence. It doesn't have a cognate in English as one word. So we need to be in a state of expectation that the veil between this spell of Maya is a veil that is very thin, and we can poke through it at any moment. The image that I like is if we think of crepe paper, black crepe paper. Say you have a curtain of black crepe paper in front of you. It's extremely black. It can hold out the light. And yet, if you wet your finger and put it on the crepe paper, it will poke right through. It's that thin, and that it doesn't have much tensile strength. So this is the veil of Maya. The wet finger is the mantra. The wet finger is the power of the name of God, according to Sri Chaitanya. And we must expect that it will succeed. It will, and not be in any way daunted. As Sri Krishna says in the Gita, don't give away to doubts. Don't just follow my instructions and do it, and don't give way to doubts and reservations. That kind of expectation. Anyone else? This is great. Yes, please.
When Swami Harinamanandji came here, he played on a video from Swami Yogeshananji Maharaj. During on his birthday, he gave a message.
Mm-hmm.
So during that message, he mentioned that you need to practice your spiritual life. And this talk is, I feel it very much resonates with that. It tells that calling on the name of the Lord and praising His glories. So in that way, you will be able to start from, in whatever level you are now, you will be able to start immediately following that. If you follow the other paths, Patanjali Yoga Sutras or something, there are a series of things like Yama, Niyama, everything you need to follow, and then you will be set. But this one is on the path of bhakti, you can start it immediately. So with full devotion, chanting the name of the Lord. So whatever Maharaj, he gave us as a message. So I just felt that both of the things are just
very, very much. And remember that word that the Swami used, get engaged. This is a little hint toward that madhur attitude. you know, what is someone who's engaged? They are already in a deep relationship with that which they are engaged, the person they're engaged to. So get engaged with the Lord. It's a very deep mystical concept, this engagement. It's very much practiced by the Catholic nuns especially. Wonderful, thank you.
The word Chaitanya, when actually translated, means cosmic consciousness. That's why you say Yadevi Sarvabhuteshu Chaitanya Vidyate. That is the name of Mother.
Well, it's said that Chaitanya was an embodiment of Sri Krishna and Sri Radha together.
Yes.
Inconceivable. Just so beautiful a thought. Madhur Baba. So anything else? All right. As we all know, there's lovely things to be had in the kitchen. So unless there's something else, we'll close with this wonderful prayer for peace as translated by our beloved Swami Yogeshananda, who just turned 96. Let there be peace in outer space.
Let there be peace in outer space.
Let there be peace in the sky, on the earth, and in the waters.
Let there be
peace in the herbs, the plants, and the trees. May the gods be peaceful. May the whole universe be pervaded by peace. Let this infinite universal peace prevail throughout my being. Om peace, peace. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. Peace, peace. Peace be unto us and to all beings everywhere. Again, thank you for coming this morning, this lovely morning. Outside of it being a little windy, it's about as nice as it gets for a winter day. So let's go on inside and enjoy our... We'll right away make it prasad so that it won't have any calories.